You're listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
If you're like me, you spend every day in front of a computer. And so my question for you today is whether your computer happens to be a Windows version computer or a Mac, or is it a Linux, or maybe even these days a Chromebook. In other words, what's the operating system that you rely on? And it might be some other deviation. And in fact, more and more, people are using their tablets and they're using their phones and they're doing everything else and not even having to get on a computer. I remember back when my choice was MS-DOS or MS-DOS. There was no other option. And then the world revolutionized when there was Windows, and then there were other different variations. And we were always worried about compatibility as the platforms began to develop. In recent years, in fact, several years ago, I made a switch. I'd always been Windows, and I'd followed Windows from MS-DOS when I was a kid. Well, actually, back then, I used the version that was on the Tandy computer. That was that old Radio Shack computer, and I learned basic programming on that. And then I followed MS-DOS on along through Windows all the way through. And then as I was getting ready to make a transition to where I was going to be spending more time writing and creating podcasts, I switched over to Mac. And then I found there was a little issue. I could take my files from my Windows computer and put them on my Mac computer, but I couldn't take my Mac files and put them on my Windows computer. In fact, the drive that I used to transfer over wouldn't go. It kept telling me that it was incompatible, which really is where I'm talking about today, the incompatibility between people, or to be more specific, the myth of compatibility. And I think a lot of our conversations now about compatibility are based in the fact that we live in this world of information, this computer age. So maybe it's not because we talk about Windows or Macs. Maybe there's something else. Maybe it's about, for instance, the online dating services. Maybe that's where we've gotten into it. But somewhere along the way, we've come to believe that people are compatible or incompatible. And I've noticed this on two fronts. Those who talk about compatibility in the dating arena, and then those who talk about incompatibility in the marriage arena. It kind of switches. When people are dating, they're looking for somebody with whom they are compatible. And then somewhere along the way during marriage, somebody says, "I don't think we're compatible. We're incompatible." And I just want to note that there's not a lot of research. In fact, I can't find much research at all that would be useful research that proves that there is anything to compatibility, at least in the way we understand it, with one exception. And I'll talk about that one exception in just a minute, because that exception is actually fairly rare. A lot of times I'll say, well, there's one exception, and people immediately say, oh, we fall under that exception, and they really rarely do. So when we are at the beginning of a relationship these days, a lot of people ask the question, are we compatible? And I recognize that when you do those online profiles, you go through a lot of likes and interests and thoughts and beliefs, and you get matched up based on somebody having similar likes and interests and thoughts and beliefs. But in the real world, many times our friends have very different opinions than us. Many times they like different things than us. Many times they have different interests, beliefs, everything around us, and yet we can be friends. But somehow when we apply it to a marriage, to a serious relationship, we believe that there's got to be some base level of compatibility. In fact, the higher the compatibility score, as the online dating profiles would show, is the better your chances of matching. And yet it doesn't work out in real life. That's the myth of compatibility. And then the problem is, somewhere along the time in marriage, I have people come into my office saying, you know, I just don't think I can be married to this person anymore. We're just not compatible. And my realization is that when they're talking about compatibility, a lot of times they've confused compatibility and connection. So let's get rid of the compatibility issue, and then we can talk about connection, as I've talked about many, many times, about how to build a connection. So what does exactly it mean to you, if you think about compatibility, if you believe in the compatibility myth, What are you looking to be compatible about? For instance, do you think it's about personality type? I mean, there are lots of different ways we measure personality. Do you think maybe if you have the correct Myers-Briggs indicator type, or maybe if you believe you're the same thing on the Enneagram or a complement on the Enneagram, or maybe you believe that somewhere along those MMPI frames or somewhere else that there's got to be some match? Or maybe you think about it in terms of interest. You know, maybe if we all like to play tennis, or we like to play golf, or maybe we like to all cook, or whatever, maybe there's a compatibility about our interest in life. Or maybe you think it's about desires. A lot of times this is really about lovemaking. And what I've realized is that, you know, if you both are attracted to each other in that way, you figure it out on how to work through that, with just a couple of exceptions that I'll talk about in my one standout. How about politics? You know, maybe you believe you need to be on the same stance on things, or maybe on the same side of the equation. The interesting thing is, I've noticed that humans, for the most part, are kind of all after the same thing. Most people want to be successful and want everyone else around them to be successful. How we get there is different. Most of us want other people to be healthy. Most of us want the rest of the world to kind of go in a sensible direction with peace and love. We have a difference on how we get there, but when you boil it down, most of us have the same desires for the world. Those who don't tend to fall into another realm anyway, and those are the ones who tend to be a little bit more willing to take advantage of other people, a little more narcissistic or egocentric, or maybe even a little more sociopathic. And those are the ones who don't want those similar things. What they're really trying to do is get themselves ahead at the expense of others. Not hoping the best for everybody, but at the other people's expense. So I'm not sure politics is it. In fact, we have some close friends who are opposite ends of the politics spectrum, and they are a great couple. Not because they agree with the politics, but because they find it interesting to have a dialogue about the politics. So in terms of compatibility, it's not there, and yet it works. How about profession? Maybe you think, well, we need to have a professional closeness. And yet I know people, some who one has a PhD and the other person's struggled to get through high school. Or if you look at it on another level, I've watched relationships fall apart when they are too similar in their professions. I've watched doctors who marry doctors only to find that lifestyle is so rough for both of them to be in. And so I don't believe that even profession has anything to do with it. What about hopes and dreams? Well, I think at a core level, we all need to be in touch with our hopes and dreams, but I don't think having the same hopes and dreams are necessary for the process. In fact, as I've noticed, what tends to happen is that people tend to cherry pick. So if they want somebody to be compatible with them, they'll find the things upon which they agree. They'll find the things upon which they agree or enjoy the same things. They have the same pursuits. They have the same interest because they want to find it. Interestingly, I find on the other end, when people want to claim incompatibility, they're much more willing to look at the places where they disagree and get upset when somebody might point out the things that they agree upon. I remember how many times in recent months I've talked with people who said, you know, we just have nothing in common. And as I was working with one couple just last week, I said, you have nothing in common, but you told me you've been married for almost 30 years. Yes, 30 years. You have 30 years of history together in common. Yes. You have 3 children, correct? Yes. Okay, you have in common 3 children that bond you together. You have in common property. You have in common a shared understanding of the family, of your property, of your relationship. You have a shared understanding that tells me that you have a great deal in common, but you choose to look at the places where you are different. And what I've realized is the difference can be part of what's interesting in a relationship. It's not about the compatibility, but the places where you kind of bring a spark to each other. Now, I did say there was one exception. So let me go ahead and tell you that one exception. The one exception that I believe there has to be compatibility about is in the realm of values and morals. I talk about this in my program, in my Save the Marriage system, and particularly in the core module, that compatibility trips us up a lot of the time for the wrong reasons. But there is a core place when you get below the surface of what kind of food you like and what kind of interest you have in the world. There is below that another level of shared understanding. And below that are our values and morals. The values and morals are those things we hold most tightly to us and we probably don't talk about much until they become a conflict point. So what do I mean about values and morals? Well, let's say that one person truly believes that it is okay to cheat on taxes and try to take advantage of other people in you know, somewhat gray or even criminal ways, and the other person doesn't think that's okay. That's a moral difference that is going to be a problem. Or maybe one person thinks that it would be okay to have multiple partners, even multiple spouses, while the other person believes that really a marriage is about two people being in a monogamous relationship. That's a conflict that can't be resolved because one is always going to break the values of the other. So that is the exception. And guess how many times that happens? Very rarely. On a few occasions, I've had people come and talk with me, and I've realized that we really are talking about a core difference in values. Two of those times were because somebody wanted to be polygamous and the other person believed in monogamy. Those are in such conflict that I had to say, I don't think that you can get on the same page if both of you hold to your beliefs. But other than that, for the most part, I don't see that arise very often. And yet, over and over, I hear this compatibility or incompatibility put out there. Relationships need a couple of things in order for them to really get the energy they need. First is sameness. And this is the same thing we as individuals need. We need some things that are the same in our lives that we can just count on. We all like to have a routine, and relationships need some level of routineness. But they also, and we also, need some variety. Relationships need a little energy to come into them. And individuals need something that's bringing a little variety to life. And so part of our balance in our own individual lives is to find both a place of routine that we know what to expect in a lot of ways, and variety, that there's something of interest that comes into our life. And the same with a relationship. If someone was 100% compatible, you know, they had the exact same taste in music and in food and all the activities they wanted to do, and they have the exact same match in politics, and they have the exact same personality types, and all of everything matches up. They're 100% match. That has a risk of boredom to it, of sameness that dominates so much that there is not any variety. And what I've noticed is that when that's not the case, there can't be too much variety because any person is going to find some routine, and really two people can always negotiate to find the routine in life. The trick is to bring in the variety. When my wife and I were doing premarital counseling, we took a couple of tests, and one of them was this test, the Myers-Briggs Personality Indicator, which really is a useful indicator of your personality type and how you tend to function in the world. She and I are very similar on that, and the person who was doing our premarital counseling said, you have to be cautious that you don't allow your relationship to get bored. Well, trust me, that hasn't happened. We still see things differently enough that hasn't been the case, and our interests tend to be kind of different. I relish the heat, I relish the beach and water and paddling and running on the trail and scuba diving. My wife's not much into water, and she doesn't find much interest in running on trails in the woods. She likes lots of other pursuits, and we don't match on that. I have a tendency towards very spicy food, and this tiniest spice makes her mouth on fire. And so we don't have the exact same taste in our food, and we listen to some different music. So in a lot of areas that might on a test show that we're incompatible, it's just that we have differences of what we like. So we experiment and try the other person's thing out. Last year, my wife did a little snorkeling with me, and she did a little paddleboarding with me, and I've gone and played a little tennis with her and done some things on her side as a way of bringing variety in and as a way of including the other person in our lives. So it doesn't have to be about incompatibility. As long as our moral and value perspective is similar, it's easy to learn from each other and grow. We create that place of routine in our lives, and then we bring the variety in because of the differences. Now, here's an interesting thing to ponder. No matter what that compatibility score showed, choose any two people that look like they have similar interests are still going to have major differences in outlook and understanding of the world just by the fact that they have a different way of viewing the world. As I say, they have a different paradigm. They have a different perspective. And so sometimes the problem is we believe in compatibility and then we're surprised by the differences that we have. And it throws people off if they believe in compatibility. They get lured into that. So I believe that there are kind of four things that help us to move outside of this belief in compatibility. The first thing is that we build room for the differences. Sometimes I've watched couples do battle over differences as if one is right and one is wrong. One believed it was right that Chinese food was the best food in the world, and the other thought that was dead wrong. And so they could find right and wrong in the smallest of differences. But sometimes all we need to do is step back and recognize that if we make room for the differences, they're only differences. They're only different ways of viewing the world and understanding the world and differences in perspective. So the first thing that couples can do is to make room for the differences between them, just to make room, make a space for the fact that there's a difference. The second thing is to work on acceptance, accepting that the other person is going to see the world differently, not falling into the trap of believing that something must have gone wrong, because at one point you saw things just alike. You never saw things just alike. You might have pretended to. That's one of my steps in this whole process of intimacy. The first one is pseudo-intimacy, where you pretend that everything is just alike. It's a normal state at the beginning of a relationship, but pseudo-intimacy generally gives way pretty quick to chaos when you realize that the other person doesn't see things your way. And the next step through that is acceptance. To accept that you're not going to see things the same. The third step is navigation. How you negotiate those pieces, you navigate the differences between you. Sometimes the problem is that one person feels the need to completely give up what they love, to completely give up their base enjoyment of life for the other person because they haven't navigated how to make both fit, how to introduce each other to what's interesting, how to bring some spice into that by the variety that each person does. So navigating the differences is important. Not changing them, not stopping the difference, but navigating the difference. And the fourth one is appreciation. When your spouse shows you something different, to be appreciative instead of just marking it as wrong, to appreciate that there's some variety there. Remember, the two big things that are important in stabilizing a relationship. One is to have sameness, to some pieces that you can rely on. And two is variety. Allow the places where you're compatible to create that sameness, that stability. And then allow the places where you might normally think of as incompatible as being the places of variety, of teaching each other and learning. Don't buy into the compatibility myth, and don't buy into the myth that that's what's causing you problems in your relationship. It's not about that. That usually is the excuse, when in reality the problem is that the connection has waned and your focus of saving your relationship is really on understanding that you're not trying to change the compatibility, but you're trying to reconnect. If you need help with that, I would love it if you'd give my Save the Marriage system a try. You can learn more about that at savethemarriage.com. Or if you're ready to just jump right in, you can go to savethemarriage.com/grab. That's G-R-A-B, like grab the system. So savethemarriage.com/grab and jump right in. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.